Ahava blessings. Welcome to this episode of Embodying the Shekhinah. This podcast is here to support and guide us during these times of accelerating energy, to awaken, to inspire, to integrate, embody, and remember our soul essence. I'm your host. My name is Aria. I am an ordained Magdalene priestess, a Reiki master, energy and sound alchemist. And in this episode, we are going to talk about the energies of this Venus retrograde, what it means, how we can navigate it. And it's particularly timely as we've also started the Lenten season. We have a solar eclipse on the 14th, which is also when Mercury goes retrograde. Mercury right now is in its shadow phase. So a little bit about my perspective and how I view this. I view astrology more from the Kabbalistic, from the ancient biblical mystical sense, not so much from the traditional Western astrology. When I did my astrology journey, I studied Western astrology. I also studied sidereal astrology, and I found sidereal to be more accurate and more kind of fitting. But then I discovered the Kabbalistic perspective, the mystical aspect of astrology, and it takes it to the next level in my perspective, as it allows us to understand the energies on a deeper level and how these cycles influence us, influence the collective, and how we can work with these cycles. Because that's the other thing that's coming in during this time of this retrograde season, this eclipse season. There is a very, very strong need for grounding spirituality. Many people use spirituality as a mechanism to bypass their personal responsibility to, or they use religion, which is another Piscean. We're in Pisces Adar season, so it's very apt that we talk about this. Or they use religion to justify certain actions or certain courses, and they don't really understand how their dogmatic approach to life is actually limiting them and preventing you from fully embodying and sharing your soul and your light. So I love the Kabbalistic perspective because it really gives us the broader scope of what these energies mean and how they play into, how they embody different aspects, different frequencies, and how they play into our lives and how we can work and navigate these energies. These energies are not something to be afraid of. They're not something to kind of be like, well, this is my natal chart, so I'm a Leo, so I'm supposed to be self-absorbed. No, it's not about using astrology to scapegoat our way out of our personal responsibility and out of our growth. It is a way of employing understanding our personal energy, the energetic signature of our soul, that the template that our soul chose, because we chose the energetic template. We chose our body, our physical vessel. We chose the families, the culture, etc. We've chosen this. And we've chosen this because our soul wanted to perform and do certain things. So all of it is interconnected. And that is a part that actually goes back to my having been brought up a Buddhist, where there was always this emphasis on how all life is interconnected, how we are the divine essence, which they have a different name for, but it's very similar. The where they kind of went off is it became very dogmatic. It became more about the masculine doing as opposed to the feminine guiding and the masculine being the structure. So it's the integration of two, and that is what I found missing in that practice. So that led me down many, many rabbit holes, and here I am to talk about the Venus retrograde. So Venus retrograde is Venus. If you're not so familiar with Venus, I will say this one thing. Venus does not have a shadow. There is no dark goddess, dark Venus going into the underworld. The energy of Venus is the energy of creation. It is the energy of the Garden of Eden. It is the energy of abundance, creativity, flow, beauty, harmony, love, relationships. It's how we love and nurture one another, how we love and nurture ourselves. It's our values, it's our money, it's our resources. So Venus, I'm so tired of seeing how the descent of Venus, I guess that's what it's called, into the underworld is likened to Inanna. I don't vibe with that. It just doesn't make sense to me. It does make sense for Venus to go through a purification, which is this retrograde, a re-envisioning, a reimagining, a course correction. That makes sense. But to go down into the underworld and that just, I'm like, no, that's a different goddess. So we're not talking about that. We are talking about Venus in its highest attribute. And this is also the difference I make with the feminine. The feminine also doesn't have a shadow. There is no dark goddess. Light and dark only exist in this physical world. In the ethers, the higher realms, there is no duality. So there is only light. There is only divine feminine, divine masculine. That's it. There is no shadow aspect to it. We can work and play in the shadow. However, I don't necessarily find that beneficial, because I find that the more that you work and play in the shadow, the more that you will gravitate towards those energies, and it won't be about revealing your light. It'll turn into sort of creating yourself as a hollow vessel that only wishes to receive the light, but not to integrate the light and share that light. So I hope that makes sense. So that's my take on how I feel these energies and how I feel why it's important for us to learn discernment, especially during these retrograde seasons, because there are all kinds of theories and all kinds of beliefs, and some will guide you into deeper awareness and deeper self-exploration. And others will guide you into not so nice levels of self-exploration, and it won't really have the benefit that we want. And that's the other thing. I think that we also, as spiritual beings, we need to get away from the habit that we have of equating our spiritual work with an outcome. The link that we have with, well, if I do this, I expect this. The reason I want us to consider at least breaking this link is because when we have an expectation, if I do this spiritual practice for 40 days, I'm going to get a new car. I'm going to get $10 million in my bank account, whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm going to find the love of my life. What we're doing is we are limiting what can happen. So we are limiting the result, but we are also limiting ourselves, because we are so tied and invested in one specific outcome that we are not actually allowing ourselves to go into the inner journey to uncover what needs to be revealed, uncover what needs to be shed and liberated. So it's very important to begin to look at our spiritual work as a gift, as a blessing, as a way for us to go deeper into our self-knowing. And that self-knowing is what will guide us into the knowing of our soul, the embodiment of our soul. And that, in that embodiment of this infinite light that we are, that is our true essence, that is how we will shift and transform all of those quote-unquote dark spaces in our lives, those blockages, blockages, as my teacher Anna says, are an absence of light. So those spaces within us where we don't think there is abundance, where we don't experience flow, that connection to the light, that preparing the vessel, your physical vessel, your emotional vessel, your spiritual vessel, to receive and channel this light allows you to break through and liberate and transform and transcend whatever karmas, traumas, limiting beliefs, whatever is going on. It will allow us to do it in a way that is far more expansive than if we ourselves, with our human mind, limit that expansion by it has to look a certain way. Okay? So spirituality is not about, well, you know, if I do this, I'm going to get this. And I think this is what this Venus retrograde is bringing us into. Venus retrograde is a time, it's 40 days. So it's March 1st through April 12th. And it is 40 in Kabbalistic numerology, in the mystical teachings, is a very, very profound number. It is the number that is associated with the Aramaic Hebrew letter, let me make sure I'm correct, Mem, and Mem is the water, waters of creation, purification. It's a very, it's one of the mother letters, a very powerful letter to work with, very powerful frequency of creation, and it's about purification. It is about anytime there's a retrograde, not just a Venus retrograde, we are reimagining, re-envisioning, retooling, reconfiguring whatever that planet, that and that frequency is bringing to us. So in this case, we are reconfiguring our values. We are reevaluating the way that we love, the way that we receive love, our resources, our money, how we are employing it, how we are aligning with the light. Because it's also, Venus is the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is the space of pure creation. It's where everything began. So we're going back to the source, in essence. We are going back to the womb. And we are in Adar season, Pisces season. This is the lunar cycle of Pisces. So now we have the ability, we have the energies that are supporting us are really allowing us to look at every aspect of our lives, particularly those related to Venus, and assess where we need to course correct, where we need to align more fully, what we need to shed and liberate and cast off the transient in order to reveal the true. Don't know why that Buddhist quote just came to me, but it's shedding, casting off the transient, revealing the true. So what does that mean? That means that all of those perceptions, all of those judgments, all of those viewpoints we have about ourselves, about one another, about this person or that collective, all of that is being scrambled. And it's being scrambled in a very big way this entire year. But it's being scrambled in ourselves. We are really having to look to see where we need to cut the bullshit. Where are we basically selling ourselves short and allowing ourselves to basically coast, as opposed to doing the actual work, taking responsibility? Because we are master creators. I know that some of us don't feel like we are. We don't think we're master creators because we're like, well, why the hell does my life look like this? But we are. We are master manifestors. We just have been conditioned and programmed to behave as if we're not, and to not know how to channel our light, how to channel our infinite sexual energy. We have been disconnected from our bodies, from the earth, from the cosmic realm, from the cycles. When we realign with the cycles, when we learn how energy works, how it flows through us, we begin to pick up on the energetic signature and the harmony that is your soul, that is your light, that is the song that your specific coding of DNA came here to share and transmit. because we didn't come here just to pretend that all is love and light and avoid hard conversations and, you know, not like this person because, you know, they're doing that or they eat a certain way or, you know, oh, well, you know, those people over there are evil, but these people over here are good. No, we didn't come here to stand in judgment on our high horse thinking that because we, you know, eat, drink green smoothies or whatever that, and we, you know, do an hour of spiritual practice, whatever, whatever it is, you can fill in the blanks here. We didn't come here to utilize what we do, who we are, to hold it over other people. That's not true spirituality. True spirituality is an embodied experience. It is something that allows you to elevate beyond your destiny. Because we can choose to live a regular, you know, life where we don't strive for anything other than what we are told to strive for. Success, power, money, sex. That's all we strive for. We can live that life, that robotic existence, which is the first level of the soul. Or we can connect to the higher soul, the higher I am, and live an expansive experience. Live a full life where we understand that every trial is not a trial. It's simply a lesson that we are here to master. We are here to master energy. We are here to master our energy and not from an egoic, self-serving perspective. But in order to enhance creation, we are the sparks of the divine. The divine chose each and every one of us to be incarnate on this earth with certain gifts, with certain tikkuns, corrections that we need to make in this life, in order to expand and experience itself through us, enhance creation and the collective through us. This is the mission. The mission is to come back into remembering, come back into your knowing that you are infinite oneness, and move and shift your alignment and your perspective to be shifting and moving from that baseline. If I am infinite abundance, if I am infinite creation, then what actions am I taking? Are they in alignment with knowing myself as the infinite? Or are they in alignment with the lesser self, the ego, which only seeks to serve myself, which only seeks to use and manipulate and abuse and utilize fear tactics to control others, or utilize guilt or shame again? Those are all frequencies that are rampant, and we can choose if we want to play in duality and continue to perpetuate it, or if we want to rise above it. Ascension is that transcending, that unifying of all polarity. We understand that for every, in this world, in the earth realm, for every light, there is a shadow. For the higher aspect of, let's say, Leo, there are lower aspects of you, of Leo, which are more egoic in nature. However, when you allow yourself to merge and transcend, you can access the higher light of ego, the pure nature of Leo, which is that magnanimous, creative, expansive leader, that inspirational, aspirational leader, that is so generous and so warm and loving and nurturing and protective, because that's the higher octave. So we are all going through the process of this great shedding right now. And it's very interesting that we are going into this before the spring equinox. So we really have this opportunity with this retrograde to stop and pause, especially especially since we're in the Lenten season, it's a time for pause. It's a time for reflection. It's a time to think before you speak. So many times we really should think before we speak. Because the moment that you decide to engage, you are creating an energetic exchange. And that energetic exchange can drain you. That energetic exchange can, you know, create egregores and entities and attachments and all kinds of stuff if it isn't in the highest light. So we can choose to argue with someone on the internet because they posted something that we think is ridiculous. And instead of actually receiving what they said and processing it and seeing if it aligns with you or not, we can choose to attack them personally. And instead of maybe, if it is, because in a debate, let's just speak about debating. When you are debating, you don't attack the person. You poke holes in the argument and you create a different counter argument to basically come to a consensus. What is happening in this world now is we are making someone's personal choices somehow equated to their value, to their worth, and judging them because of their what they're doing that is in alignment with how they chose to express in this lifetime. So I hope that you can see how silly it is of us to think that we can look at any other being and sit in judgment. That's not for us. That's not our role. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to come into remembrance and into alignment with our light and to share that light. When we engage in lower frequency behavior, like attacking someone for their personal choices or denigrating someone because of their culture or their religion or their background or whatever. I'm not talking about actions because some actions are reprehensible, period, end of story. But to just equate someone because of a characteristic to a negative stereotype is not, it's not even honoring our own light because we are all mirrors of one another. Now, if someone does something reprehensible, we should call it out. We should acknowledge that that is not the right way to behave. However, we also must remember that that is that individual's soul contract. And if it's something they did to us, we chose our part in that contract and they chose their part. In order for us to experience that exchange that needed to happen, that we wanted to happen, that our soul wanted to happen, there needed to be a player that performed those actions. So from that higher perspective, we must learn to honor the contract that we entered into and still choose to transcend it, choose to go beyond it, honor the contract that was made, receive the lesson, and transform it. This is what we are here to do. It's that transformation of a negative into a positive. And we don't do that by hating. We don't do that by vilifying. We don't do that by thinking that I'm the angel, that person's the devil. And for me, in relationships, I can see how this is particularly problematic because people behave all kinds of effed upness in relationships. I'm sure I've definitely behaved all kinds of effed up, and I'm sure you have behaved all kinds of effed up in relationships, because we all have the potential for great good and great evil in our actions and in our being. We have that infinite potential for both. So we chose whatever negative situation that we went into with that in that relationship. We chose it to grow. In my case, I chose a relationship that was, incredibly one-sided, emotionally, mentally abusive, just horrible, financially abusive, you know, it was horrible. And it took me a lot of work, and it took me at least like a year or two to really be able to honor that soul contract and be like, this is what I chose, and be okay with, I chose that. Doesn't mean I want to relive it. Doesn't mean I want anything to do with this person. I don't even want to ever see this person again. But I honor that this was a lesson that I needed to learn at that point in time. And I honor the gifts that came from that lesson because of that relationship. I honor that I went way deep into my spiritual practice. I went way deep into my work. And I really did the work to uncover whatever last bits of nonsense I needed to clear from myself to really come into a place where now my relationships are completely different. So we have that ability. We have the ability to acknowledge the lessons, to thank that person's higher self for choosing to play that role, and let it rock, let it go. There's no need for us to wait around and see, well, is that person going to forgive? Is that person going to, you know, apologize? Am I going to get the thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars back? Nah. It's not worth it. Because the energy I would spend worrying about that is energy that is better employed by focusing on what I need, how I need to expand, how I need to grow, how I need to deepen my practice and my prayers and my meditations. And that relationship led me to the greatest gift. The greatest gift is how deep my practice is now, how I'm able to travel the world, how I have a beautiful, loving relationship, how I, you know, are home, and how I'm able to bring these beautiful sound alchemies into the world, how I'm able to channel so many gifts because of that incredibly difficult relationship and how deeply I had to pull and go within. And I'm sure that if you've had similar circumstances, you've either experienced that transformation yourself or you will experience it, because this is how we transmute energy. This is how we transform. This is how we elevate our personal frequency to embody and be able to hold and channel and share and birth more of our light. And this is what Venus is. Venus is the morning star, the evening star. Venus is the brightest star. Venus is our light. It is that light that we are, that infinite self. Venus is the beauty and the harmony that we create with our words, with our actions, with our thoughts. Every time during these times, because we're going to be very, very triggered, we need to look, pause, and actually look and ask ourselves, is this in alignment with the light? Is this in alignment with the highest expression of my soul? Is it worth it for me to engage in this conversation when I know that that person is not going to hear me? Is it worth it for me to get upset or mad? Oftentimes it's not. Or is it better if I just take my energy, my beautiful energy, and go into prayer, go into meditation, go into doing a sound activation on myself, go into doing my movement meditations, elevate my frequency so that I have a different perspective when I come back and have to deal with that mess? And then when I go deal with it, my mindset and my perspective is of greater value. I can create harmony in whatever situation because I chose not to be reactive and combative and not to be egoic, to be in the ego and to be in all of the feels, but to actually truly align with truth, align with wisdom, employ my discernment, open myself to receive. What is this telling me? What is this showing me? What is it that I need to shift? What is it that I need to shift in order for me to allow myself to embody love and grace and peace more? Peace. We all want peace, right? But we think it's something external. Peace comes from wholeness. When we all experience inner peace, that feeling of wholeness, of completeness, of integrity. Integrity is coming through too. Because that's what Shlama Shalom in the Aramaic and Hebrew, that means to be whole and to be complete. So this is what we're doing. We're bringing ourselves back into unity. Bringing all those parts of ourselves that we have ostracized. And we're bringing all these parts in love and union into our heart so we may rise and align more fully with our soul, with our light, with the divine, as we are all aspects of the divine. We're all sparks of the divine. So employ this time wisely. Allow it to grace you with creativity, with beauty, with love, with understanding, with compassion, with forgiveness, wherever you need to forgive. Even if it's forgiving yourself, we are often the hardest on ourselves. And that relationship with ourselves is the most important relationship. That relationship between you and the divine, you and your soul, which is the divine, that is the most important relationship we can nurture and nourish during this retrograde season. Really, that connection to ourselves, that knowing that we are infinite consciousness and that we are here for a reason. We are here to share our light, to share our gifts. We are here to transform and transcend any limitation we have, every limitation. We're here to transform and transcend. And it's a choice. We can choose to do that, or we can choose to remain asleep. And for some of us, that remaining asleep is not an option because the divine, every time we think about it, the divine just kind of knocks us on the behind. It's like, nope, you're not doing that. So there are some of us that's just not an option. We're just not doing it because we know very well that's not going to happen. But some of us on this earth do have that option more readily available to them than, let's say, me, or than many of my sisters and my friends. But if you have that option and that's what you choose to do, vaya con Dios. By all means, please do that. Don't recommend it simply because it's just more work for the next go round. But each person has their own free will. And that's just my perspective. So yes, make sure you take this time to ground. If you don't have a spiritual practice, find one. Even if it's a meditation, even if it's a sound activation, even if it's breath work, even if it's running, jogging, whatever. Make sure you hug trees. Spend a lot of time in nature or by the water if you can. Allow yourself to really connect with the earth. Know that you are a part of this cosmic symphony. Connect with your oneness. Align with your heart. Remember to breathe and pause. Meditate, journal. pay attention to your dreams as always. And don't forget to tune in to the Sound Activation, the companion episode for this. It's a full hour, 10, 15 minutes long. So it's really beautiful. And these beautiful crystal alchemy bowls really are a wonderful tool. So I'm happy to bring them forth and share them with you. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, subscribe. And you can follow me on Instagram at Aurea Lara, AUREALARA, or at Embodying the Shekhinah. The links are below. You can also find me on YouTube, where I share longer format videos, talking about energy, talking about the cycles, sharing little meditations, breath work, etc. You can find that at Aurea Lara as well, and you can link is below. And if you would like to work one-on-one with me, you can visit my website. That is also in the links below. I'm wishing you a blessed Venus retrograde. This is a wonderful opportunity for us, so don't be afraid of it. Lean into it. Just take a breath and pause and remember what I mentioned about grounding yourself and really coming back to your heart. You can always revisit this or the sound activation anytime you like. Ahava.